Welcome in Saturday afternoon and another edition of Woods and Waters, South Carolina. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Roger Metz, and it's going to be a good show. We're going to talk to Mary Rowe from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation and get update on all the Women's Adventure Weekend, some of the work they're doing on the trails, and any events they've got going on. I don't know exactly what she's got planned for us, but yeah, it's always nice having Mary on. I hate she couldn't be on last Saturday, but hey, we got her on this Saturday. Then we're going to talk to, which is, and Tal has never been on here, Thomas Mims. He's a U.S. Forest Service employee down at Savannah River site. And you won't want to miss this, especially if you are a first responder or know a first responder or are a mobility impaired hunter or fisherman. Because what they do down at Savannah River site, in conjunction with the National Wild Turkey Federation, Department of Energy, Sentara, their security service, and some of the other partners they've got down there, is just, it's incredible. I still scratch my head and wonder how in the world I was able, or how in the world I got an invitation to go down there for the first time and take pictures. That's essentially what I do. I go down there, I get to fish. While I'm there, I don't get to turkey hunt, but I've been to, what, 3 fishing tournaments now and one of their spring turkey hunts, and just, man, it's an incredible place down there. And for the people that get to go in down there and partake of the natural resources, and I'm sure Tal will hit on that, it's a day, whether they're, like I said, there's missing limbs or cancer patients who are undergoing treatment, or first responders who, you know, firemen, police officers put their lives on the line for us every day when they put on the uniform. It's a day they get to go down there, and it's just an incredible, incredible outdoor experience. So looking for Tal down at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk a good bit about that. I want to, you know, yesterday was the opening day of gun season here in South Carolina, October 11th. The weather is, well, it just fits with deer season right now. Acorns are everywhere. I know that's frustrating to a lot of hunters, but you find your white oak tree, you'll find the deer. But every year we do tree stand safety here. Didn't do it this year with Jerry Widener, figuring to give him a year off. But I don't want to not talk about tree stand safety. Gave away a ladies' harness, lifeline, and hoist this week to a lady in Columbia. I hope she'll wear that harness and use that lifeline. And I hope you will too. But there was a article just came out by Brian Grossman, QDMA. Tree stand accidents, can we stop the insanity? And this is exactly what, it's insanity to climb a tree and not be attached and safe while you're up there. Because it's like Jerry would tell you, it's not just you that's going to be, you know, suffering. It's everybody around you. You know, if you're paralyzed, everybody's got to take care of you. Medical bills, you know, if you die from a fall from a tree stand, then everybody suffers because now your wife is widowed, your children are, you know, fatherless or motherless, or, you know, your parents don't have a son or a daughter around anymore, and nobody gets to enjoy what would have been the rest of your life. So, as Brian starts out, can we stop the insanity? Can we just get through one deer season without a family having to bury a loved one who fell from their deer stand? Yes, deer hunting is our passion, but is it worth risking permanent injury or death? The vast majority of deer hunting injuries and deaths involve tree stand falls, and those accidents are 100% avoidable. So he says, yesterday I came across a GoFundMe page for a deer hunter who recently fell 25 feet from his tree stand. Fortunately, he lived, but he suffered serious injury and has no medical insurance. And hospital bills are piling up, sole provider. But he just didn't see the necessity in wearing a tree stand, a harness while in a tree stand. So, goes on, you know, there are approximately 3,000 tree stand related accidents in 2018 that resulted in injuries. And while that number seems astonishing, it's actually down nearly 50% from 2010. And Jerry alluded to that last year when he was on, that the trend was way down. So while we're heading in the right direction, we're not quite there yet. So why are some deer hunters still climbing 20 or more feet in a tree without a safety harness and lifeline? In this day of 24/7 news and social media, I doubt anyone could plead ignorance on the matter. I don't think there's a deer hunter alive who hasn't heard or read about the dangers of falling from a tree stand. In fact, most of us know someone who's fallen. I know several people that have fallen. I also have a hard time believing it's a financial issue. Every new tree stand comes with a safety harness. That's exactly right. I bought a brand new Summit this year, 2-man ladder stand. It came with 2 harnesses. Since I already had a harness, I gave those 2 harnesses to somebody else. And he says that I've seen numerous people on social media offering it for free to anyone in need, and that's what I did. Besides, most of us spend plenty on licenses and tags, equipment, leases, gas, corn. You know, a safety harness at a little over $100, a lifeline at $30. So for less than $150, you're good. And how much is that worth for your health? So he says he thinks it boils down to something called mindset. When interviewing hunters who survive falls, that seems to be the first thing out of their mouths. We got to stop this kind of thinking. It can happen to anyone at any age, anytime, and you almost never get a warning. So here's what we got. All tree stand types can be dangerous. The first step is obvious. Always wear and use a safety harness regardless of the type of tree stand you have. Most people think, I'll wear it in a climber, but not in a ladder. Well, a ladder stand, just as dangerous as a climber. It's made out of the same materials. It can fold and buckle. And we've all seen those pictures on social media. Most folks using hang-on stands and even climbers understand this. However, many ladder stand hunters seem to be under the false impression that because they aren't as high in the tree or because their stand has a built-in ladder, that it's somehow not as dangerous. Not true. I often hear the excuse, I don't hunt from a tree stand. I hunt from a ladder stand, said Mayhew, who is the marketing manager for Hunter Safety System. Hunters don't perceive ladder stands as tree stands and therefore don't consider the need to take the same safety precautions. Ladder stands consistently account for 20 to 25% of tree stand falls based on my data. That would be a significant reduction in the number of tree stand injuries if we could simply get ladder stand hunters to wear a safety harness. The take-home message here is that no matter what type of stand you're hunting from, they are all subject to equipment failure, and any hunter can lose their balance and fall, especially if you're climbing under a rifle rest on a ladder stand. Peer pressure can be good. If you already wear a safety harness, that's great. Now make sure your friends or others hunting with you are wearing theirs as well. I have a new son-in-law this year. I told him we would not be friends if he did not wear a safety harness deer hunting. Luckily, he does. There is one case where peer pressure is a good thing. Urge them to make the right choice. If they're hunting your land, insist that they make the right choice. Don't be the guy or gal who loses a friend to a tree stand fall and lives with the regret of not speaking up. I think that would almost be as bad as falling yourself. Always be attached to a tree. This is one of those things where a lot of people will climb up in a tree stand and then they have the band that goes around the tree and you'll hook up. And yeah, while you're sitting in the tree stand, you're good. But what about the time you're climbing? What about the transition, that time when you're turning around to get seated in? That's where most accidents happen. 21% of tree stand falls. Let's see. 21% of tree stand falls, the hunter was wearing a safety harness. But that harness doesn't do any good if it isn't attached to the tree the entire time you're off the ground. This is where the lifeline comes in. If you're using a climbing stand, attach your harness to the tree before you ever begin and simply move the point of attachment up the tree with you as you go. That's the alternative to a lifeline. If you're using ladder stands or hang-ons, then be sure to use a product like a lifeline so you're attached to the tree the same time, the entire time you're off the ground. There's an additional tip. Once you get situated in the stand, place your safety harness tree strap high enough above you so that when you are sitting in your stand and start to lean forward, the tether on your harness gets tight. That way, even if you're to slip or fall asleep and take a tumble, you won't have far to fall. In fact, you should easily be able to climb back into your stand. And finally, just once is too many. Have you ever gotten to your deer stand and realized you've forgotten something important? Maybe it was your release. I looked for 15 minutes the other day for my release. I dropped it in the field. I had to backtrack and it took me 15 minutes to find my release. Maybe it was your ammunition. Maybe it was your safety harness. If that happens to you this season, either return to the house and get it or simply sit on the ground that hunt. It's not worth the risk. There's no way to know how many tree stand accidents have been the result of a forgotten safety harness, but it's probably not zero. So I know I don't like to hammer on you too much about things, but this is one. I'm not going to be the guy who didn't say anything and have a friend or somebody I hunt with or a listener who goes up a tree without his safety harness, without his lifeline, and gets injured. I'm not going to be the guy that didn't say anything. So please, when you go hunting this year, when you go deer hunting this year, wear your safety harness. Use a lifeline. Doesn't matter what kind of stand you're hunting out of. Because like Jerry would tell me, it's a selfish act, because when you don't do it, you're only thinking about yourself. You know, you're being unselfish when you put it on, because then you're thinking about you, of course, but you're thinking about everybody else in your life, your kids, your wife, your parents, brothers, sisters. So I urge you this year, when you get in that tree stand, put on that lifeline, put on that safety harness. And now it's going to be really hard to get hurt deer hunting, you know? All right, I'm going to get hammering on you, but boy, this weather is it. I hope you're out there, whether you're hunting or hiking or camping. If you're not doing it now, you need to make plans to do it really soon. Doesn't seem like we get this nice October weather for very long, so you got to take advantage of it while you can. Plenty of things to do. Mary's going to talk about the Palmetto Trail. You know, we've got all sorts of fall festivals coming up here in South Carolina. The apples, you can still pick a few apples. That's another thing you can do. But explore areas around you. Go to the South Carolina State Parks website. There are 47 South Carolina State Parks. All of them have trails. 46 of them have water. Fish are biting. Trust me, the fish are biting from the mountains to the coast. You swing something in front of a fish, he's most likely to bite it, because they are eating, trying to get ready for winter. And it is just the primo time to be outdoors in South Carolina. And also, look, when you're riding up and down the road, put your windows down. When you're sitting in your house in the evening, put the windows up. You know, let all that cool air come in. I promise you, nothing like sitting there and a nice cool breeze coming through while you're sitting there reading. You sit reading, not on your phone, not on TV, reading. Get you a good book. Anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Mary Rowe with Palmetto Conservation Foundation about the Palmetto Trail. And then after that, it'll be Tal Mims with U.S. Forest Service talking about Savannah Riverside and some of the cool things they got going on down there. More Woods and Water, South Carolina, on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This weather is absolutely the right kind of weather for me, and I hope it is for you too. And we're going to, you know, last Saturday, I was expecting Mary to be on the show with me, but she was on a trail. And she couldn't get a good signal. And how can you get upset with somebody who's out there on a trail doing what your whole show is about and can't get a signal? So we're going to let Mary roll and have a pass on last Saturday. But she's here with us this Saturday. Mary Rowe from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. Thanks for coming back on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you again for having me.
And congratulations. 35th wedding anniversary. You were telling me you and your husband are up in New England hiking and all, and just having a good time, and congratulations on that. That is
Thank
a milestone.
You. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, look, let's get right to it. Your first Women's Adventure Weekend is coming up here next month. How are things going for that? I mean, is registration good? Do you need more women to turn out?
Well, registration is healthy.
Okay.
We always need more women. We are seeing a real cross-section of registrants from young to more senior like me, we've created a Facebook page for them so that they can begin to communicate among each other, and some people are becoming new friends and sharing some cabins or sharing a tent, but overall, people are really excited, and the women are very appreciative that we're hosting something like this for them.
Well, I mean, it's needed. There's tons of stuff out there for us guys. This is really filling a niche for the women. And I remember when we talked about this the first time, you said that's what you wanted, not only for just the women to come, but for them to network and take these friendships home with them after they leave that weekend.
Absolutely. We hope that many people will enjoy each other beyond this conference, maybe plan a hike together or plan a big backpacking or both learn how to fly fish for the first time and go out there and explore not only trails, but also those rivers and blue ways. And it's all about being outside, Roger. You know, that's what we try to do every day here at PCF, get people outside.
What is the deadline for registration?
You know what? There is no deadline.
Okay.
Basically, you know, if you decide and wake up Friday morning and want to do just a one day on Saturday, come on out.
Okay.
You know, we're prepared for that. And we've left a lot of wiggle room for some drop-ins and so on. So
nice.
Really, at this point, everyone is welcome.
Okay. And that's coming up November the 15th, 16th, and 17th at Table Rock State Park.
Table Rock State Park is a great partner to us, along with many of our state parks and national forests.
Very good. Well, I guess one of the next things I want to know about, and I hate to run this conversation, but how are things coming with the Reconnect and the East Otoe Passage? You know, we had the floods this spring, took out
right.
a couple of bridges. How is that coming along? Are we close, not close? What do we need?
Well, first of all, thank you for asking, because, you know, that was a project that is dear to us. Unfortunately, Mother Nature came along. And what we have right now is all of the pieces to the bridge have been removed from the water.
Okay.
They're being stored, and we are about to launch a campaign to reinstall. It'll be a social media campaign. It's
okay.
going to kick off on October 15th and 16th through social media. We have about $80,000 that we need to raise to reinstall the bridges.
Okay.
And so that is a priority project this year, is to get the bridges back put in. And so if you're listening to us and you want to donate or get involved, just reach out to us here at the headquarters. But yes, Roger, this point they're being stored, and we are trying to find the funds to put them back across the stream there.
I assume they're going back in with concrete piers and everything, just like they were before?
Yeah, they are, and you know, that was a record high you know, level of water. Unbelievable. Who would ever think? But they're going to be positioned just slightly a little differently down, not too far, where we feel that even if, again, there is an elevation like that, that this time we won't have the issue of them
okay.
being dislodged, okay?
Okay.
So we've got great trail builders and so on, but we're ready to make that our priority project this year, is to get them back installed.
Okay. And that's a lot of money. 80 grand is a lot of money to raise.
It is, but we're going to work hard, and we're out there now again with different partners, and there's great leadership from businesses in the area. So and individuals, hey, every dollar counts.
Every dollar
so
counts.
Don't say that $1 won't do anything. We need those individual contributions too.
I saw where there was a bar somewhere down in Florida that got $14,000 in ones off the wall and sent it over to Abaco. You know,
mm-hmm.
so those dollars add up. They add up.
You know, they do, and there's a little bit of a new, and I won't call it a trend, but I think it's a good idea. It's called.
Okay.
DIY, you know, hey, throw a barbecue in there. You know, you got 20 friends.
Sure.
Ask everybody to give $5 and send it this way.
Yep.
That would be much appreciated. So put your thinking cap, listeners, and if you have an idea to fundraise, give us a call.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, this time of the year, a nice pig picking would be good.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
See, my mind is already working for you.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, what other events or news or what else do you have to share with us? Because we're coming up on the best time of the year to hike. Fall, winter, early spring. You don't have to worry about snakes, mosquitoes, spiders. You know, the leaves are off the trees, so the views are even better. So what do you got coming up? What can people do?
Yeah, well, we have on the 29th, if listeners in the upstate want to join us for a ribbon cutting at our second Stump House Passage up at the Walhalla area, we're going to have a nice ribbon cutting to a second phase of our Stump House project. And so it starts at 4:30, and we'll have food and ability for bikers and hikers to explore that particular new section of trail.
Nice.
So that's our next event. That's very exciting, and I'm really pleased with the trails that are being built in that area. Wahala and the City of Wahala and the Chamber are just fabulous partners. They really have embraced what trails can do for small communities. And I know the people in the area are really enjoying getting off of work and going up there and riding bikes. Yep. And they're getting a lot of good visitors to see the great town of Wahala, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Anything else?
Well, we just finished, we don't talk about it much, but our NRE passage is looking stellar. The guys were just out there for all last week, and if you haven't gone to the NRE Passage, this is the time of year to explore it. I think people will be really surprised how beautiful that particular passage is, and we really don't talk about that much.
No, we don't.
But you know, a lot of the upstate where you are gets attention, but NRE is a you know, really an easy drive from here in the Midlands or
sure.
from the upstate. So please go explore that particular passage.
All right. And then, as always, you got your pale ale.
I do. RJ Rockers is just a terrific supporter. We just finished the True to the Brew Trail Half Marathon at our Croft State Park passages.
Yep.
Had over 200 runners.
Goodness.
And, again, the guys at RJ Rockers that night had a big concert for us, and a dollar of every beer sale came back to us. So we will be putting that money back into the Spartanburg Trails. Look for a downtown urban trail and also the renovations of the USC Upstate Trail.
Nice. Boy, y'all are busy.
We are. We are. But we love what we do. We love what we do. So
and that makes it easy to do.
Yeah, and we love when we get on your show, excuse me,
sure.
to talk about it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on every time. And like I said, we'll give you a pass on last Saturday because, you were out hiking a trail.
I was, sir.
That's a great thing. So, Mary, well, look, I'll be sure to pump this ribbon cutting up here, and then when you start the social media program, we'll promote it on the Woods and Water page, too.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you'll go to the Palmetto Conservation Foundation website if you're a lady and look at that Women's Adventure Weekend. That sounds like a fun deal. Sometimes doing this show, I have those scratch my head, what world am I living in? And that's the feeling I get every time I get to go down the Savannah River site and be a fly on the wall for some of the stuff they have going on down there. And I've made a really good friend down there. His name is Thomas Mims. Everybody calls him Tal. And Tal, thanks for taking a few minutes and coming on the radio show with me.
Well, Roger, I appreciate you having me today. And it's just an honor to be on the show with you today. And I appreciate the friendship that we kind of bonded over the last couple of years. You kind of coming down here and seeing what we do down here at Savannah River. So it's a pretty unique place.
Oh, man.
As you
is.
Know, that you've been down here the last couple of years with us. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, tell us who you are and what do you – I mean, you're a U.S. Forest Service guy. What do you do down there?
Well, I work for the U.S. Forest Service, like you said. I'm the wildlife program manager now, so anything that deals with any kind of wildlife-related issues, that's being from endangered species to game species, of course, deer. Of course, a lot of people in South Carolina are very familiar with our annual deer hunts that we have
sure.
here at Savannah River site.
Right.
But anything wildlife-related, like I said, endangered species, invasive species, of course, nuisance hogs is a big program we have here at Savannah River Site. And that is an ongoing deal, not only for us here at Savannah River Site, throughout the state and, of course, throughout the Southeast.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I think when I was down there in March, you told me you killed something, or the guy that I was riding around with, I can't remember his name, help me out.
Probably Mike Larson. Probably.
Mike Larson, yep, was telling me
y'all had
like 2,400 pigs a year y'all take off down there?
Yeah, we average anywhere. I think our biggest year was probably, I think it was actually 17. My years kind of run together now.
Sure.
I've been here about 18 years now, so everything runs together. But I think it's 17 or 18. I think we removed somewhere around 2,000 to 2,100 pigs that year. So quite a extensive number of pigs that we remove off the property since there's no public access.
Yep.
And, you know, we kind of do that through contracts, and some of the, our techs as well do some of that trapping to remove that nuisance or try to alleviate that the best we can.
Talk to me just a minute about Savannah Riverside. It's, you know, it's quite the – it's a chunk of land. It's quite an ecological and wildlife – sanctuary down there. Talk just a minute about it for me.
It is. I mean, the Savannah Riverside, I mean, of course, it's owned by the Department of Energy. Of course, the U.S. Forest Service are in charge of the natural resources for the Savannah Riverside. I mean, it's 198,000-acre contiguous tract, which that can compromise about 310-square-mile site. Probably 97% of the Savannah Riverside is forested.
Right.
Very little background far as facilities.
Yeah.
So most of the landscape is forested, and that's where the Forest Service comes in. I think in the 1950s, the Forest Service was actually brought in to reforest the land because a lot of this was old home sites and farm sites.
Sure.
So they actually, Department of Energy brought the Forest Service in to actually do the reforestation on the landscape. So that's why the Forest Service initially got started back when the site was closed and they started reforesting the site.
Do y'all do active timber management down there?
We do. We definitely have active timber sales. We probably have anywhere from 10 to 12 different crews on site, you know, as many as 10 at one time for active logging sites, 10 crews, you know, that's on the high end to as many as 2 to 3 throughout the year.
Okay.
It's pretty much ongoing active timber program here at the Savannah Riverside.
Very nice. Look, y'all, I still, like I said when I introduced this, I still scratch my head and wonder in what universe I was in when I was invited to come down to the first fishing tournament last fall. And I had no idea what I was in for. I have since convinced a couple of people to come with me. You met Brandon Cobb and Anthony Gagliardi, and they've come back going, holy smoke, this is an incredible fishery down here. But you, in conjunction with the National Wild Turkey Federation, Department of Energy, Terra, all of them, you kind of got a bunch of partners, and y'all were looking for ways to give regular guys access to all the natural resources down there. So talk just for a few minutes about some of the things you guys do and who it's geared towards and how they get involved in it.
Yeah, this is something that started way back probably, and I guess I'm telling now, about 16 to 17 years ago, it kind of brought up the portion of getting some of our, you know, we want to start off with mobility impairments, veterans, you know, wounded warriors, to show our appreciation to that group of people that don't have the opportunities that we have, you know, each and every day. But for us, the Savannah Riverside, of course, like you named the partners, the NWTF, the Department of Energy with the U.S. Forest Service and several other site entities as well, just to come back and give back to those guys that has already given so much for us. So, you know, our first event started was actually having a, you know, mobility impaired wounded warrior veteran turkey hunt.
Okay.
Like I say, this will be, this coming spring will be the 17th year of that event. Like I say, there's no public access to the Savannah Riverside, so we can bring those guys in and just give them a fun day. You know, with very limited access with the natural resources that we do have here at Savannah Riverside, it's just impeccable, and just give those guys a true great experience here that can't be offered really anywhere else in the state or probably within the Southeast for that matter.
No, I mean, when you're riding down the road and you come around the curve and there's a big old gobbler standing there strutting in the middle of the road, you know you're not in the average place in South Carolina.
You're not at all, Roger. And, you know, it piques guys' interest when you're riding around and you're telling them, and, you know, of course, they've gone outside of the fence, I guess you would say, if we want to say it that way. And, and you ride around and you see this and their eyes light up. And, you know, what's amazing with these events is the parts I've been a part of, each and every one of them, is, you know, the memories these guys take away from this, and, you know, and the gratitude that they show for, you know, for the Savannah Riverside and all the partners together. They say, you know, this is, I've never seen anything like this. I will remember this every day of my life. So it's very rewarding to be able to give back to those people and, you know, just show our gratitude for that.
And you get all sorts. I mean, we were with a man who was battling cancer that day on the turkey hunt, but there were people there that were in wheelchairs, people with artificial limbs, veterans with PTSD struggles and all. And I just on the outside looking in, the reward that you guys at U.S. Forest Service, DOA, National Wildlife Turkey Event, that's got to stick with you, like you said, for your entire life.
No doubt. I mean, I always say we got a whole host of volunteers that, of course, they're all badge site employees that come out and help out this event, and they get more out of it than the participants do. I've seen friendships bonded through these events or with these guys. They stay in touch, and they've stayed in touch over the 10 to 15 years we've been having these events that each time, you know, a certain participant, if he's able to come back, he wants to request the guy that he had the year before or 5 years before. You know, these guys stay in contact. And, yeah. You know, they built friendships through this.
Sure.
And that's what life is, you know, creating memories, creating friendships, bonds. Yeah, and that's been the neat thing, having these events, to see that kind of unfold, where you have these relationships that are maintained and built through these events. Like I say, creating wonderful memories, but, you know, creating those bonds and friendships that, you know, of course, last a lifetime. And these memories definitely last a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, that's the turkey hunts, and I got to come on one of those this spring, and I look forward to coming back for the next one. But you started just in the last few years, started a couple of fishing tournaments.
We did. You know, we have two lakes on the Savannah River site. You know, they're I say lakes. I don't want to say ponds,
sure.
But a relatively good size. You know, one's roughly around 2,500 acres, give or take a few acres. One's roughly around 1,300 to 1,200 acres. And we just saw this as an opportunity to, you know, and to be honest with you, we went out and did I did a boater class on this and just saw the fish schooling. And
yeah.
I'm scared to say this on the air, but I was doing some aquatic surveying at the time.
Oh, no.
Just to do some sampling, just to see, you know, and I thought to myself, this is just too good for someone else not to enjoy.
Right.
And, of course, we went to DOE and proposed, say, hey, is there a possibility that we can open this up to, you know, to our, veterans or mobility impaired, folks, to have to actually let them come out and experience this and enjoy this. And of course, you know, DOE was gracious enough to let us kind of start hosting another event besides the turkey hunt. You know, I think this is the fifth year we did the mobility impaired wounded warrior veteran event.
Okay.
And it's phenomenal, Roger. As you know, I think you come out 2 years ago when you've got guys catching over 100 bass in a day in the springtime.
Yeah.
And, you know, average weights, 4 pounds, which is big up to 8.5, 9.5, 10 pounds.
Sure.
I think 10.5 has been our biggest bass to date.
Yeah.
You see the smiles on the faces, and I mean, it just tells a story. And it's a phenomenal fishery that we do each spring with, like I say, with our wounded warriors, our veterans, and so forth. And like I say, so we kind of added on to it. We wanted to just, you know, those are a great group of people that we
sure.
want to give back to show our appreciation to. But, you know, just a few years ago, we said, well, let's, what else can we do? So we thought, of course, we sat down at the table and we come together and said, well, what about our first responders? These are guys and gals that are putting their life on the line every day. So why don't we do a fall event? So
yep.
we kind of come up with the idea to have a fall event for our first responders. That's anybody first responder related, you know, of course, firemen, police, EMS, dispatch, anything of that nature, and just have an event for our first responders so we can show our appreciation for those guys and gals as well. And I think this was the second year we hosted that event. We
yep.
just recently finished up with it. Of course, had a wonderful turnout. I think people were, you know, astounded, especially first-timers that come out. I know you and Anthony was on the boat and spending time with Anthony and talking with him. He said, this is impeccable. I've never seen anything like this. And a guy like Anthony and a guy like Brandon Cobb that has fished all over the United States, and they come to me and says, man, there's nothing like this in the world.
Well, I thought from Anthony when you asked him to say a few words, and he got up and he said, guys, he said, this is the closest I've come. I've always had a dream of going to a body of water and being the first guy to throw that lure at that fish. And he said, this is it. He said, that is exactly what it feels like out there. I'm the first guy to come out here and throw a lure of these fish, because they only see, what, the fishing tournament once a year, that lake, you rotate the lake. So, you know, one lake sees guys one time one year, and they see it one time the next year. And I thought, and really, from my standpoint, watching these guys at the weigh-in, listening to them talk around, I don't think it really hits them how how special this place is until they get back to work the next day and start talking to their buddies about it.
And that's the thing about it here, Roger. It's so, I guess a lot of employees that actually help out with these events, a lot of the site employees, you know, SR&S, our security folks, some of those guys are interested in fishing, and they come to me, and it's like, how do I get on the list to help out? You know, I've been working out here for 30 years.
Sure.
And I want to get out there on that lake to help out with this event. Of course, they're helping out for the right reasons.
Sure, absolutely.
But they just want to, they've been seeing it, and they've been dying, chomping at the bit to get out there on the water to really, truly experience it. And, you know, I've had, you know, our, like I say, some employees that's been working out here for 20-plus years, and they come to me and says, Tal, I had no idea how wonderful it was. I've seen it, but I hadn't been able to enjoy it. And for those guys to take these people out and them get to enjoy it as well, it is just a win-win.
And it is, you know, the fishing is impeccable. It's off the charts. I've never been anywhere like it before in my life. But you've got everything else. You got ospreys. You got eagles. You got some big old alligators down there.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, like I say, this is like you said earlier. I think you said it's almost like a sanctuary in some degree because it's very little public. I mean, it's no public access besides our Cracker Neck, our WMA that actually joins us, which is about 10,000 acres. You know, it's a public access area, but for the remainder of the site, you know, it's all exclusive. I mean, it's you know, it's just site employees and stuff of that nature. But there's wonderful natural resources out here. The Forest Service has done a great job, you know, maintaining those natural resources and doing the right thing as far as land management wise and timber wise and prescribed burning and stuff of that nature. And you know, it's just a way that, you know, it's just an impeccable natural resource or ecological reserve, as you would say. Just a wonderful place to for natural resources to be.
And I know just from my standpoint, just having been down there a couple of times, you know, I'm busy, you're busy, we're all busy, and I've got no big events in my life, you know, and I go down there and it's just like, wow, this is really special. I cannot imagine from the standpoint of a first responder who's been through traumatic experiences, for a wounded warrior who's suffering the same thing, for somebody who's been really sick, to go down there. It's a day they just, you just forget about everything else that's going on because it just, it draws you in and you're just sucked into this great fishery, this great habitat for turkey hunting. And I can't imagine what they take home with them.
Yeah, right. I think, and that's the whole take-home message from this. And, of course, we want people to come down, have a great time, have a safe event, but we want them to leave with something. And it's not a 10-pound bass or a 5-pound bass or a 10-inch beard with an inch and a half spurs. It's, you know, those are great things. Don't get me wrong. Of course, everybody likes to go home with a little, you know, story. But, you know, we want to create memories where in that day, while they're out there on the water or sitting under a live oak tree, listen to a turkey gobble, you know, it's the stories and the memories. That's what we want to take with them. And I think we've succeeded at that. I think we've really done a good job, all our partners coming together and making this, you know, wonderful event for our participants to leave more with just the not the harvest or the catch. It's just the memories that they can take with them when they leave.
Sure.
That's the important part.
Well, how, because we've talked about, you know, if you're a first responder, if you're a wounded warrior, whatever, how do people find out more? How do they get involved? How do they get their name on the list of people that might get drawn to participate in these hunts and fisheries?
Fortunately for us, we partner with the NWTF, the National Wild Turkey Federation. We partner with those guys, and they have several events, not only events here at Savannah Riverside, but different chapters throughout the state have several different events. And we just partner with those guys. They handle our application process. So if you're interested in any event going on, I know that you can go to NWTF.org, go on their website, look for events around your local area. They'll have them listed on there. But if you're interested in the SRS events, call the NWTF, and they can put you in contact with the folks there that handle these events, whether it be the turkey hunt or the fishing event.
Okay.
And they handle the application process. They'll send you an application, get your email address, and they'll send you an application for one of these events. So, and I would highly recommend, and I think you can speak for this, if you've seen it firsthand, it's definitely worth your day or 2 days to come and be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well, Tal, I appreciate you doing this for me. If there's, you know, through the years, as I get invited back, I'm eternally appreciative for any time I get to spend down there. But if there's anything I can do to get the word out, if you want to do this 2 weeks before turkey hunt and get some more people out, you just let me know. I'll always be at your beck and call. I appreciate it.
Well, Roger, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the friendship that we formed over the last couple of years and you being a part of it. I thank you for that. Like I say, the more people we get involved to come out here and enjoy it, that's what we're about.
Absolutely. Tal Mims, Thank you very much, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, great. Thanks, Roger.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the final segment of Woods and Water South Carolina for this Saturday. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope, like I said, if you're a lady, check in the PCF Women's Outdoor Adventure Weekend at Table Rock State Park, November 15th, 16th, 17th. If you were listening while Tal was talking, you understand the kind of natural resources you're going to be exposed to down at Savannah Riverside. If you're mobility impaired, first responder, I hope you will let people know these events are going on, because over the past 2 years when I've been involved, sometimes I've had trouble getting people. Can you imagine that? They've had trouble getting enough first responders to come down and go fishing. And I think as the word gets out, how, average size, 4 to 5 pounds with some 10 pounders, 8 pounders thrown in there. I think, let's see, when I took Brandon Cobb down, and this is what makes it so fun from my standpoint, is I get to go down and take a media boat driver. So the last two times I took Brandon Cobb down there, Bassmaster Elite guy, won Lake Hartwell and won Texas Fest, and he's driving me around while I'm taking pictures, but he's getting to fish. And his biggest one was 9-1. And then last month, Anthony Gagliardi went down as my media boat driver, and he's just couldn't come up with words to describe it, but his biggest was 7'9", I think. So down a little bit on weight from the first time I went down there, but it's just an incredible fishery. And the fish were there. We were there a week or so earlier this past fall, and the water temp was like 8 degrees hotter. And in the fall, 8 degrees is a lot. But yeah, get a hold of National Wild Turkey Federation. I believe the next event down there will be the turkey hunts. The Mobility and Turkey Hunts will be in the latter part of March, first part of April. Then in May, you'll have the Mobility Impaired Fishing Tournament. And then in September, October, you'll have the First Responders Fishing Tournament. And I believe, springtime tournament will be on Par Pond, and the First Responders next fall will be on Elk Lake. So just a really cool thing. And like I said, there's like 8 different kinds of grasses growing in those lakes, and they're crystal clear, like 6, 7, 8 feet of visibility. It's just something else. All right, let's do a short calendar of events for this week. As always, brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. The deadline for the 2019-2020 public drawing waterfowl hunts is October the 15th. That's this Tuesday at 5 o'clock. You can go on the Department of Natural Resources website, look under Draw Hunts, and look on the waterfowl hunt. It gives you all the locations, all the dates. These are online applications, so you can just go to your computer and do it all there. And this year, and they got some good ones, and we talked about some of these earlier in the year. This year, Ed Paul referenced this when I talked to him a couple weeks ago. There's a new waterfowl public hunting opportunity announced with a partnership with South Carolina Wildlife Partnership, a nonprofit organization, formed to match up, computer just dinged. Excuse, sorry about that. mute that thing for it. Does it again. Formed to give public hunters access to private land. So when you're on the public drawing waterfowl hunt page, look for the link, because if you don't get drawn for one of the state hunts, you could get a second draw through one of these SEWP, SEDNR partnerships to hunt private land. So it's really good. I think that's all I need to say. And kudos to all those private landowners who are willing to open up their lands for public hunters. Hunting opportunity for military veterans. It's an annual tradition. It is it's 2 free deer hunts in memory of Specialist Thomas Kaufman. Those deer hunts will be on November 22nd and December the 6th. Kaufman of Lexington, South Carolina, deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades claimed his life on June 9th, 2004. He just caught a 10-pound bass not long before his deployment and was an avid deer hunter. Successful applicants will have lunch before the hunt, as well as the opportunity to tour the Jarrett Rifles Gun Shop and Museum. If you're interested, there's an application form. This is through Carolina Sportsman, so I'm not really sure where the application forms are. But it is in conjunction with SCDNR, so that's where the applications will be. And that process is open until October the 30th. So, opportunity there. Santee Delta Expedition on October the 20th. There are secrets here that people should know about, mysteries, and the clues are still there. This is offered through Coastal Expeditions. It's the landscape will start out as live oak, cedars, and blooming wildflowers, transitioning to salt-loving Spartina. The ecosystem supports alligators, kites, bald eagles, and then opens up to bottlenose dolphins, ospreys, gulls, and terns. Where the river meets the ocean is a dynamic barrier island, Cedar Island. Wander along the shoreline in the windswept forest on a self-guided exploration. After a couple hours on the island, return to the boat and head back up the river where the journey began. The captain and the guide is Gate Roll. And it says, Gate Roll have deep respect and knowledge of the Delta and offer their observations with refreshing lyricism. So that's through Coastal Expeditions, Santee Delta Expedition. Oh, gosh, almost out of time. I'll hold these over because they're not, I can do those next weekend. Okay, so remember, guys, when you're out there deer hunting, wear that safety harness, put the lifeline up, stay connected from the moment you leave the ground to the moment you get back down out of your stand, because it's not just you you're protecting from an accident. It's everybody around you. Great show. Glad you tuned in. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can, because that's where South Carolina comes alive. And don't forget your camera. Back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit me from behind as I'm gone.